So let us start. Today happens to be Tu B'Shvat. And just to open up and share a little bit connected to the theme of what we'll talk about today, to be determined which will be the theme. How important it is to leave things open. There's a New Year's for trees. I'm not going to go into the halachic consequences. There are halachic consequences, but just what does it mean, a New Year's? Now, it's not like individualized a person. A person is born, if a person were to be born today on Tu B'Shvat, so they would celebrate their birthday next year on Tu B'Shvat, that's their personal New Year. Doesn't work that way with trees. No matter when the tree was planted, the New Year's for the trees is Tu B'Shvat. Or there's a debate between Shammai and Hillel, Beis Shammai, Beis Hillel, whether it's Rosh Chodesh Shvat or Tu B'Shvat, and currently we follow the ruling of Beis Hillel, which is why we celebrate it on Tu B'Shvat, and in the imminent coming of Mashiach, in which as a rule we understand that there's going to be a reconvention and there's going to be new determinations, we're going to generally follow Shammai's opinion, so it's going to go to the Rosh Chodesh Shvat, but same idea that all of the trees change their year. Why? What happens on that date to all trees whenever they were planted? And I know the word that I'm using now is not the accurate word, but just as an example, in the animal kingdom, there's something called hibernation. Hibernation means not all animals, some animals, they mamish go into a deep sleep. I don't know about young women. I can tell you, yeshiva bachrim, they hibernate when they go to sleep. They can sleep like for 12 hours. And when they're sleeping, you can't wake them up. It's like a deep type of sleep. Animals do it to survive. Similar thing happens to trees. I know there's a correct word, but it's a type of it's not the same. It's similar. They go to sleep. The consequences primarily is that they do not allow themselves to take in new waters, even if there was waters. And in Israel, it rains cheshvan. Mar cheshvan is the month of rain. Those new waters will not go into the tree. And it does so because of the cold and because of its survival mechanism of checking out. It just goes to sleep. Many trees shed their leaves. That's also they're sleeping. They don't want to be involved with life. They're moving away from life to live. Some trees go to sleep deeper. Those are the trees that you have more on the East Coast. You have the LA trees that are beautiful the whole year. But they still go to sleep. And the New Year's is when they awaken. How great is that? You know, and whenever they awaken, the rings that you have in the trees that you can determine how old the tree is, it's not based on when it was planted. Those rings have to do with their cycle of borrowed word, hibernation. Maybe someone can Google it. There's the right word. And then it's reawakening. The reawakening is accurate. Now, really, really, it reawakens Rosh Chodesh Shvat. So it wakes up. And the first thing that happens, because of the fact that it's awake, is that it's opened to receiving water, the new water. So juices, sap, goes into the tree. And in around 2 weeks, you begin to see the consequences of that. Whether it's called the budding, certain development begins to happen on Tu B'Shvat. You can walk up and down these blocks. You have some beautiful trees here in the neighborhood, and they are beginning to blossom now. Mamish, everywhere in the world. I'm going to use water as a symbol of wisdom, waters as a symbol of Torah. And I would like to share, I think, a very important concept of two opposite ways of approaching learning in general, particularly godly learning, Torah. And one is what most people are familiar with, I'm going to learn. Right? I'm going to learn. So I got the wisdom in a book. There is the wisdom in a person talking, or it's recorded somewhere, and I'm going to get it. That means I'm going to listen, I'm gonna take it to the best of my ability. Then I'm gonna forget it, so I have to review it. So I'm taking something. I'm taking wisdom. I'm learning. That step is necessary. There is a whole different type of learning that can never happen when you're actively pursuing or taking wisdom. It will never come to you. You are worthy of receiving it if you are open to it. If you are awake, you awaken, and the wisdom will or will not come to you. And I want to speak many words about this, but I just want to connect it to the Parsha. One of the words that are used very, very often in the Chumash, whenever a new topic begins, and God says that, Vayomer Hashem el Moshe Lemor, Vayedaber Hashem el Moshe Lemor. What does Lemor mean? Who knows? God spoke to Moshe
saying.
That's what I was talking about. Well, if God spoke to Moshe, then the word saying is superfluous. If he spoke it to him, then he spoke it. If he said it to him, then he said it. So therefore, the pshat of the word lamer is that God spoke to Moshe for him to repeat it to others. That's the pshat of the word lamer, which implies some good information, that there was a lot of conversations, there were many things that God spoke to Moshe, but he did not tell him for him to repeat it. And I think wisdom for all of us is that when someone shares something with you, anyone, it's not like, oh, if I made a commitment that it should be confidential, I won't share it. It's the opposite. Only if that person told you, please share it, should we share it. If not, it's not meant to be shared. I think that's a much healthier premise. Certainly, that's the truth with God. That means when Hashem communicates something to you, to me, or to the real tzaddikim that really understood that God was telling them something, not everything was theirs to share. Unless God told them, I'm telling you something to tell over to others. And when they told it other to others, they would say that. I'm telling you something that God told me to share. Vayomer Hashem el Moshe lemor. That's what lemor always means. It means to repeat it to others. Sometimes to one other, sometimes to Yoina in Ninveh, I don't know, to a group of people, to repeat it over to others. There's one problem with this pshat translation. This is one of many different questions the Alter Rebbe asks, but I just want to begin with one question. I think it's a great question. That right before we have the record of the Ten Commandments in this week's Parsha, it says, Vaydabar Hashem, lemor. Lemor means that God communicated. It wasn't to Moshe, it was to everyone. God spoke to all of the Jewish people, and we were all there, mamish. Not only were all the living Jews there, but all of us were there, not embodied, and there was an effect. We all stood around Sinai. Being that we were all there, the word lamer doesn't work for us to repeat it to whom? We are the principals, we are the testimonies, we are the ones that heard it. So what's the lamer? You get the question? Simple question. Almost, it almost like proves that we did not properly translate lemor. But we did properly translate lemor. And the Alter Rebbe he's very innovative. I'm saying this because the great scholars that really know all the mefarshim. Normally, there's going to be two or three approaches, and everyone says it in their own way. The Alter Rebbe always comes up with new. It's new. He is the one that, for me, introduces there are two ways of learning. God is speaking, and you are repeating after God. You're repeating after God, or you're speaking, and God is repeating after you. And the way I understand what the Alter Rebbe is trying to say, and this is very relevant in the way we go about understanding things, if I am involved in the understanding, don't overthink this part, because this is the way we all do it. It's an effort we have to make. We all have to make an effort. We have to focus. Some people have to focus more. Some people have to not get distracted. However it is that you work, that I work, in Yiddish, it's chapping. It's such a horrible word. I'll tell you why it's hard, because the word chap means to grab. And I don't know why that in slang Yiddish, when you're trying to understand something and it's complicated or it's deep or whatever, and you're having a hard time, when you get it, you say, I chapped it. Which implies that the way you did it was by, it's like I lifted the whole 50 pounds or whatever the pound is difficult for you to lift. Like I did it because you did it because it was difficult and I chapped. Did you get it? I got it. That's one type of learning. When we are engaged in that type of learning, I'm quoting now mystical words. You are learning Torah and God is having nachas from you, that he's sitting opposite you and he's repeating what you're saying. The much higher level of learning is not that you're hopping anything, you're not getting it, you're not going to the wisdom, you are staying where you're at, and sometimes the wisdom will hop you, if you can use that word. The wisdom will come over you and will get channeled through you. And that's an infinitely higher level of learning. That is already close to the emes. It's an experience. How do we do that? That's the problem. You're not allowed to do anything. So what would that mean? So let me just share. I want to first share a story. In the Lubavitcher world, in Lubavitcher culture, that our rebbes, they would share a lot of words of Torah, but when they would share what we call a Hasidic discourse, or in Hebrew it's called a maimor. The word maimor means a saying, but it's a Hasidish discourse, a maimor. All of our rebbes, they went into a different place. You can see it on them. You saw it by the rebbe. Up until our rebbe, the first six Lubavitcher rebbes, Chabad rebbes, they would look at someone when they would speak a maimer. And in many cases, the rebbe would look at the next rebbe. We have a record from people that were there, because it wasn't that far back. We're going back 100 years. That during the life of the fifth rebbe, I think the fifth rebbe passed away just 106 years ago. It wasn't that long ago. That means that, like, our grandparents knew people that were there. That's all this is. The Rebbe Rashab founded the Lubavitcher Yeshiva, the first Chabad Yeshiva system. And a lot of his teachings happened to the boys, to the Bachrim. And there's a description that people gave, that they used to put together tables forming a box, huge box. So you had a few hundred boys would sit around the outer perimeter. Everyone sitting by the table, maybe with a book, maybe without a book, but everyone was also facing each other, like a big table. But when I say a box, it wasn't a solid table, that there was room inside of it. When the Rebbe would come to say a maimer, the Rebbe, they would make room. They would open up one area just for him to pass through. He would have a chair inside the box. The fifth Rebbe, the Rebbe Rashab, while he was the Rebbe, and his son, who later became the Rebbe, the previous Rebbe, would also enter the box. He would have a chair set up on the opposite side of the box. I don't know how, it must have been big. And when the Rebbe Rashab would say a maimer, prior to a saying of the maimer, they would stare at each other. And it was something was happening between them. They would just look at each other. At some point, the Rebbe would begin to say, and while the Rebbe was saying the maimer, the Friedrich Rebbe would say with him. I think for me that was I heard this many years ago, then I heard it recently. The way I understand what was happening is not that the Friedrich Rebbe, after he heard the word, said the word. That would have confused everyone. somehow the Rebbe Rashab was sharing with him this type of learning where wisdom comes to you and it flows out through you. And the Friedrich Rebbe, I think, was being initiated in this such a type of learning. So it was coming to him as it was coming to his father. And they were like speaking at the same time. Just when we went through the Yam Suf and we were all saying the same words at the same time, it was something like that. We all had the same lyrics, everyone. Can you imagine? Millions of people saying the same words. Awesome. And not only that, the men and the women were at some point were not together. The way Moshe was saying with the men, Miriam was saying with the women. On the side, how interesting. Normally women speak more. Here, there are 20 verses, I think 20 psukim. When the women sang the Shira, they only said one verse. Verbatim what Moshe Rabbeinu said. Separate. Like, isn't that crazy? Everyone said the same thing. Here you see, it wasn't that they were getting something, because everyone gets it differently. It got them. The words got everyone, and everyone said the same thing. It can be an indication of brainwashed people. If you have a society that everyone is saying the same thing, like zombie-like, zelu umazeh, and or it can be an indication of some great revelation happening, and somehow everyone was worthy at that moment, not of knowing. We were not the knowers. How did we know what to say? We didn't know what to say. We didn't prepare. No one had pre-thought, but the wisdom came and got everyone. Everyone reached that level. Gevaldik. The Alter Rebbe calls that somehow when you're learning Torah, God is saying, and you're repeating after God. Even though God is not physically saying, which is easy. If you're saying, I know how to parakeet what you're saying. But imagine, even though you're not hearing it, you're hearing it, and you are repeating the word of God. Ta'an l'shoini, he quotes a pasuk in Tehillim, in which King David says that my tongue will respond after you. Responding after God is not the type of learning that most of us are engaged in. Now, I know these words sound abstract. They do to me as well. I think speaking about it and talking about it and thinking about it and differentiating, because we all have this a little bit. We're just very unaware of the switch. There was a Jew that lived here for a while by the name of Rabbi Meir Abuchatzera. Many people know his children, his grandchildren. But there were certain things that he always said. One of them is that whenever a person speaks for him in public, when you speak, never prepare what you're going to say. I'm saying this for you not to experiment with that unless you are humble enough to make a fool out of yourself. You have to be a very humble person to go down that path. Perhaps it's even irresponsible not to prepare. But he was great with this. He felt that if you pre-prepare, you're not getting it. It's like prepared. You killed it. At the moment, what comes to you is going to be will be closer to wisdom than pre-wisdom wisdom. That makes sense. Most people are unable to practice that because of their ego, because I don't want to make a fool out of myself by saying something that's already known, so people prepare. But in the preparation, you close yourself, because you are making the whole, you're packaging it. I'm going to say this, and then I'm going to say that, and then I'm going to say the other, and then you get some more information, and you put it in the sandwich, and let me word it this way. Even for most of us who don't yet have that humility to be open to really doing that, without doubt, all of us, when you're engaged in learning, listen to these words, what comes to you at the moment is closer to wisdom than everything you have understood before. And I would like to say a couple of words regarding that. Just, I know I spoke about it this Shabbos, but this is a good topic. And the topic is that there's a word chizuk. Chizuk is a good word, right? When we finish reading a book in the Torah, chazak chazak, right? Chizuk, be strong. When a person feels down, what do they need? What do they think they need? I need some chizuk. And that might be right, and that might be the worst thing that you need. Meaning, the opposite of chizuk is not weakness. Chizuk means strength. The opposite of chizuk means to dissolve. When people cry, basically what's happening, not always, many times, is that something that became calcified, that became mechuzak in the wrong way, is getting in your way. Like if I understand something wrong, but I'm convinced of it, it worked for me. No, this is already a given. Don't forget, we build information, we build knowledge. There are so many things that we are able to understand now only because we understood something underneath it, and we already understood that, and we confirmed it, and the way it is, it's a law, it's engraved. Right? Many kids, they can't learn complicated mathematics is because they were missing an earlier step. Many of our kids don't understand Gemara because they don't know how to read. It's connected. Even though you would say reading is just reading. No. That there's a lot of wisdom that, you know, we have to get step one. You have to get it. And based on that, you do step two. And based on that, you have step three. And even in step 100, which is difficult to see the connection, it's connected. But what happens if one of those steps are not the way it should be? We're going to get into trouble. Whether this is with wisdom, I won't be able to chop certain things. I won't get it. Or in life, my understanding about life, what I need in those cases is not chizuk, not to be stubborn in my ways and let the whole world conform to my mistake. I need to dissolve. I need to let go of the old completely. And when that happens, one of the consequences is the person cries. One of the worst things an outsider, a friend, can do when they witness and they are with someone who's crying, one of the worst things is to tell them, be strong. Not only because it almost sounds like you're criticizing when something is happening beyond. Crying is when you're overwhelmed. Like, I'm not strong. No, be strong. No, it's much more than that, is that something is decalcifying. The word calcifying is a good word in English. And actually, the calcification of the heart means, in my age, that when a person is over a certain age, you have to be careful that the blood is not hardening in your arteries. The chizuk is going to kill you. What you need is dafke, not chizuk. You need to dissolve it. You have to decalcify. It has to go back into liquid in order for you to make something new out of it. So there's the attitude of chizuk, and there's the attitude of dissolving. In the story of the Exodus, you know what kept us stuck in Egypt? Pharaoh's heart being hardened. Again, God hardened his heart, clearly, in the Chumash, in Scripture, that the hardening of the heart made sure we are stuck. Many times, if I'm going to be machazik myself, I will continue my suffering. What was needed for his heart to melt? We have the same thing with Yosef HaTzadik. I know the word there is not chizuk. The word in the Chumash is vayisapak, vayisapek. This is in the previous Chumash. Rashi says chizuk, chizuk. Rashi makes that correlation. That when Yosef was giving continuity to the anguish of his brothers, you know how he did it? By hardening his heart. And Dr. Theta writes, and there were times that he couldn't deal with it, so he cried, not in their presence. The Theta writes that. The crying is when that hardening needed to dissolve. And then, up until the end, again, he did on purpose something which was continuing the suffering. It was continuing the problem. He hardened his heart. So,
how long is it healthy to cry, though, and then be strong?
I really believe for this, there may never be a rule. I think for this, there has to be an attitude that every case is a case. And if someone has so much that got calcified the wrong way, like most of us, but they are lucky that they are at least becoming aware of it and seeing and feeling the pain of the mistake, that I am not in my core, but very deeply, I'm put together the wrong way, then the crying might take a long time. It has to do with many people allow themselves to dissolve, but then something else in them is so freaking stubborn that it goes back to the old. You do a little bit of progress, and then there's another part and say, well, no, or because this is too scary. Because you're already in step 100. Now you're undoing step 3. You know what that means? It means you have to remake step 4 and step 5. It disturbs everything and we can't handle it. So if I harden myself again, I have to cry again. Without doubt, it has to shift. There has to be a shift. And a good friend, I can never judge myself. If the person is not shifting, then I don't think that these tears are an indication of anything healthy and holy. If there is a shift that happens through it, then what happened was what needed to happen, which is the opposite of chizuk. The opposite of chizuk. As it is with this topic regarding everything, the same with wisdom, the same with knowing. There is chizuk type of learning, and then there is making an effort of unlearning everything you learned. I'm telling you words that I heard. It's deep. There was a great Amoira, Rabbi Ze'era. These are the words. He mastered the whole Talmud Bavli. And then he fasted 100 fast days to forget the Talmud Bavli, to be able to learn Talmud Yerushalmi. When we learned it in the yeshiva, we laugh. We say, we don't have to fast to forget. We were much way advanced than him. We learn, we forget while we're eating. But it's something very deep. In other words, that his effort of learning the same differently wasn't to understand better. Was not that. He lived, the experience was, I am forgetting the old. The way I think, I'm beginning with that premise, is not accurate. It's negative knowledge. So the way the Alter Rebbe words it, it's counterintuitive, is that God repeating after us is the lower level of knowing, the lower level of knowing, in which we are involved in the knowing. We are the learners. We are the getters. I'm getting it. I'm applying myself. I'm giving myself chizuk. There we get something, and God repeats after us. Now, can you imagine, where do you think there's more wisdom? If God is repeating after me, or if I'm repeating after God? Of course. In other words, it's taka godly, because what you're knowing is not wrong. You're saying a verse in the Torah. It's right. So God is saying after you. No, who wants a God that talks after me? Like, how boring, right? I don't want a God that talks after me. I want a God that I can talk, that I can repeat his wisdom. I don't need someone else to repeat my wisdom. But that's what I'm doing. If I learn with a intellectual approach, which is the opposite of chizuk, I'm not strong in what I know. I'm not prepared what I'm going to say. I don't know. He actually, it's amazing, this Jew would get up there in front of thousands of people. Can you imagine that? I can't even imagine that. And he would have no structure of what he wants to talk about. I don't know how to do that. You have to be very humble to do that. Get up in front of thousands of people that are not paying you. But whatever came to him, he flowed in it, forcing. Any forcing is a deviation of the real truth. Any forcing. And until, I'll give you an example of emotional forcing would be something that I'm very guilty of in the past for sure, something that is very much promoted in the world that I'm part of, and that is riling up the troops. Chizuk. Like you're feeling down, so what do? You want to go to a speaker that's going to really, and you walk out of there and you feel like $1 million. So I walked in here depressed and riling up the people. First of all, great. There's nothing bad in that. But you're missing something. What are you missing? You're missing the truth. You're missing a going deeper into where you are.
Wrong
meaning?
Isn't right. Like you're wrong and you go into the second part and you try to do the second method. What if you're wrong? What if you're
I think with all wisdom, we can always be wrong. What's very helpful is to have a chevet of people with whom ideas could be exchanged. And ultimately, life will reflect back my misunderstanding. And the truth here is the truth there. You're right. We have to be humble. Other than the gift of the Torah, I'm reading the Chumash Emes. But my understanding of it, halavai close to the Emes. And I have two ways of approaching it. Of me getting it. And of me letting go of all that I know and having the knowledge overtake me. And the knowledge will only overtake me when I am in my unknowing place. Because the more I know, the less space am I making for some wisdom to... I have to just be awake. The tree awakens. What is it aware? It's aware of that there's no water. And then just that's it. That awareness, the water comes into it. The water doesn't come from it. The water comes from God, but its awakening has to do with it being opened for and being open to what will come. One way of understanding pure faith, not the faith, not the emunah. I'm thinking of the outcome that I want and I'm going to think that and I'm going to force that. No. I'm open to what is. I'm going to be completely opened and I'm going to embrace what is. That's much closer to the truth. That works. The shallow trach gut vet zayin gut is you become, in your fantasy, like God, you think the outcome that you want. It's just another way of exercising control, which pushes away God. You think that. I'm not talking down to people that manifestations, I don't know that what manifestations mean, so I can't speak out about it. The ultimate trachkut is a different way of the way we understand what is. What is certainly not my plan. It's certainly greater than my understanding, and I'm embracing it. And the more I embrace it, the better it's experienced. Better doesn't mean the happier, but I'm living with my truth. I'm living with the emes. It works. It's an inner, you feel this is it. Repeating after God. The Alter Rebbe writes such beautiful words. When it comes to a person's relationship with God, the challenge with a relationship with God, in addition to the challenge that everyone has in any relationship, but especially with God, and that is that God, well, challenge, a benefit and a challenge, is that God is not seeable. Now, when you relate to the other, let's go with that. Your perception of the other is not the other. So maybe it's even worse. The fact that you see the other, then you're further away from the other, because what you who you see the other to be, which is not that person, you're having a relationship with the wrong person. Everything is off. At least with God, you don't have the wrong perception, you just have no perception. Who are you relating to? Just because you have the word God, right? How does that help you? Having a relationship with the word God? What do you think when you think God? Ask a person. No one can tell you what they think, or they'll be ashamed of how infantile their picture of God is. Like, who are you relating with? Even when you're talking to God, who are you talking to? Tell a person to describe to you, in your words, what are you connecting with? With God. What's God? So therefore, the part of the Torah that was given to us through the holy Baal Shem Tov, Mamish, speaks about God the whole time. It's all about God. It's not about God's commandments. It's not like any other part of the Torah. It's not about my attributes, good midos, bad midos, about what I should do or shouldn't do. It's about God, which is necessary. So at least I have a language. There are many, but let's categorize. There are two very different ways in which God is described in Chassidus, with many, many, many words. And both of them are equally true. If you want to feel anything for God, you have to first have the right understanding of God to the limit that we could to have that relationship. And let's call the godliness of Memale the godliness of Soiviv. If you heard those words before, if not, these are very commonly repeated words. Memale means that the energy that's filling the world is really godliness. Like life. Ask a person to describe their life. It's not easy, but at least it's me. I know what it means to feel life, because I know what it means to feel without life. Even if I'm sick and all you get healthy, you feel energy. So it's difficult to describe energy, but we don't need to, because I experience energy. Energy is koyach. Life, chayas, right? In Yiddish, wilde chayas. Why? Chayas is energy. Too much of it in little kids might not be such a good thing for the other people, but they're filled with life. God is my life. That's Mamali. The correlation that we make with that which we know, non-tangible, that which we know, believing and understanding that this is really a limited expression of God, is one way to relate to God. God is my energy. God is my life. God is the ruler of the world. God is actually determining that which will happen. I don't know what's going to happen. No one knows what's going to happen. And no one is able to force something to happen. God is the one doing that. Period. And we all acknowledge that in our own words. So that's called God is my life. Almost like loving God is very easy, because I love my life. If a person loves their life, and everyone deep down loves their life, they just want it to be better. I love my life. Okay, that's godliness and the level of Mamali. Mamash, it's real. It's like the real reality. Like, what's under everything? God. The wisdom. God. Wisdom is God's. Beauty is God's. Pleasantness is God's. Peace is God. We know what these things are. It's a feeling. It's an experience. God is peace. One of the names of God is peace. I'm looking for peace. I'm looking for God. Okay, that's Aleph, Mamali. And in many Hasidic discourses, the Alter Rebbe advocates for people to spend a lot of time. It used to be a lot of time was like an hour. Today, a lot of time, the Rebbe told people, 5 minutes. It's a lot of time for people today, 5 minutes. Really think about the connection between the word God, the religious belief in God, and my life, my energy. That's God. That's a little ray of God coming to me. And I want it. I want it. I want more of it. I want to be open to it. I want to be worthy of more of it. Oh, Machai, so now you're talking. You're relatable. I love God. It's true. I love my life. The Alter Rebbe, when I say I love my life, it's equal to saying I love God, because life is not mine. Life is what God is giving me as long as He wants to give it to me. Okay, good. Mamali. Soiviv is the opposite. Soiviv is an idea. It's not somatic. Soiviv means that everything that we described is not God. Everything that we described is like a little shadow of a ray, of an echo of one letter that God said. My life and my wisdom and beauty and all of that, everything that we have. No, God is none of that. God is the creator of that. God is the source. God is beyond. God is beyond. If you know it, it's not Him. If you know it, it's not Him. If it's defined, if it has a name, it's not God. Like the ultimate nothingness. Not nothingness as a negative, but nothing that we know. If you know it, it's not Him. I want you to know that people who meditate about this properly can die. Because it takes you away, it takes you completely away from reality. We cover our eyes when we say Hashem Echad. Because there is a perspective that God is the only thing. This ain oid melvadei. There's nothing other than God. It's just God. Not me. Not my life. Not my life. Soiviv. It's very abstract. It's very lofty. Which meditation do you think will have a greater impact on you? And the Alter Rebbe says that in so many different times. He's like a Fabrengen. He's telling people that when you have these very lofty ideas, for people that like lofty ideas, and you have a lot more down-to-earth ideas, the few people that be'emes live in that lofty world, which will be their very difficult people to interact with, they should embark on that journey. It's real for them. Most of us, if we're going to go down that journey, we are going almost away from God. That's what I mean by riling up the people. It's like you're feeling some sort of emptiness of life. That's your emes today. So what are you going to do? Fill it up. Become inspired. You know what you just did? You just walked away from yourself. If you are waiting for something real to come to you, it cannot come to you because you checked out. You went to where you don't belong. You went to where you were not. You went there bekoach. Someone else came ahead. And they always clench their fist. I always watch it. And they make this movement. That's it. You're done. For me now.
What do you mean? I don't understand. So what takes you out? What is the riling up?
The riling up on one level is something that we think we all need. It's something that's very desirable because I would much rather be riled up than to be depressed, 100%. I would rather that. Question is, when God is relating to me, where is He coming to me from? Is He coming to me from that riled up place or is He coming to me from where I'm at?
Do you mean like a happiness?
In any place, happiness.
So what about like davening?
What about davening?
Is that riling up?
No. I would say that if a person thinks that when they're davening, they should always be smiling from joy, then it's not emes. If you talk to God when you're joyful, you talk to God when you're in pain, that's emes. And
so that's not
riling up. That's staying where you're at.
Are you talking about toxic positivity?
That could be also understood that way. Yes. That sometimes forcing a higher path is higher, but it's not mine. And therefore, will I understand it? The first level of understanding, absolutely. I'll understand what they're talking about. I'll understand this place. I'll experience that place on that level. But it won't be the emes coming and overtaking me. For that, I have to vacate myself. Certainly not stop. I won't move from where I'm at. I am where I am. If God will elevate me, that's great. Make no mistake, there are times that God elevates you, by someone else's words, but it's different. It's not based on the premise that you have to be riled up. The purpose of getting together is to elevate ourselves. This expression superficially is great, and in depth, it's a mistake. It's a mistaken understanding. People are getting together, I would say, to get closer to the emes. I think that's a much better expression. When people get together and they're honest with each other, they get closer to the truth. Whose truth? Their truth. Whose truth? God's truth. It goes together. The further I am from my truth, the further I will be from God's truth on this deeper level. Now, I can know God's truth by opening up a Shulchan Aruch. That's God's truth, and that's absolute God's truth. There's going to be a disconnect. The proof is that we can all read the book, and not everyone is yet observing properly. Why? Something is off. What's off? It's being forced. What's being forced? The person was being forced. As adults, by ourselves, using other people's voices. We use other people's voices. When there is another voice, then we have whom to blame. Even when there is another actual voice, I'm to blame, not them. They can say what they want, but it's my choice. So sometimes you have to be sensitive to where you're at. Sometimes you are in a place of chizuk. We are in that place on our own. Sometimes we are in a place of dissolving. And if I'm faithful to that, then I'm a lot more open to in the moment being overcome with the wisdom of God. And I don't know, you can see it in yourself, you can see it in someone else, you can hear it in someone else's voice. I would almost say that when a person is really connected to that level of wisdom, almost always, they won't be excited. Even though many people like, you know, talking to myself, you get in public and you're an orator and you're making with your hands, it's very beautiful. I think the emes of wisdom always will come out very soft, always. And in a world that associates noise or enthusiasm with the emes, most quieter people are not even listened to, and that's to the loss of the world. Shmoyne Esrei, we daven quietly, soft voice. We're not jumping down. Keep your feet together, stay in your place. It's a whole different vibe. No, davening, singing, they're both. You gotta sing, you gotta dance, and there is a place for that, but it's not the end at all. We have to really be careful. We're certainly not connected to the deepest. Shmoyne Esrei in davening is the deepest, and Shmoyne Esrei is done very calmly. The Rebbe davened very calmly. Very calmly. It's a good way for me to know if I'm very getting, I do that, I get very, a new idea, I'll get very excited. And so it's good and bad. It's good because it's exciting. Who doesn't like it? Nothing wrong with exciting, don't get me wrong. But I'm off. Many times I would say better that the energy that is being invested in the excitement is sucking away the energy from the emes. It's taking it, stealing it. And that's it. And there's a deep emptiness and people don't know what to do with it. So they get more excited. And when that doesn't work, then they drink. Listen to me. Which is the biggest proof that it's not emes. Because you need a stimulant. The emes is the biggest stimulant, not the way we think it has to be.
Or a shutdown.
Huh?
Or a shutdown.
Or a?
Shutdown.
Or we shut down. Correct. Yeah, shutting down is also wrong.
Right.
So when a person is up, to go into the up. When a person is shut down, go into the down. This word of the Rebbe that since when God created the world, God created light on day number one. So therefore it must be that when God created the sun wasn't the one giving light. Now the sun gives the light. We had light. So what was the sun doing? The sun was shining when there is light. Same thing with the moon. The purpose of the moon is not to lighten up the darkness. It doesn't. You see, it doesn't. The moon shines the darkness. So let's say light is enthusiasm. Light is the first level of knowing. Knowing is powerful. I know. You see the excitement? You're your kids. That's the kid. I know it. That's light. And there's a beauty in that. And the sun shines the beauty of that. We are meant to see that. There's greatness in that. And it's great. Equally, it's equal. There is dark. Dark is, I don't know. Right? The light is chizuk, chazak. The moon is, I'm dissolved. I'm not shut down. I'm dissolving. I don't know. We begin thinking we're going to knowing. And all people, when they get older, it's amazing. Where do they go from knowing? Slowly to not knowing. And they're getting closer and closer and closer to the emes. Mamish, everyone is that way. That which you knew, you'll begin to question. And that's where the wisdom comes in. Certainty is the enemy of real wisdom. The enemy. The zelu umaza. First of all, it's arrogant. And that's a flaw of character. A side of the flaw of character, that's it, you know. It's a prepared speech. It's prepared. It's pre-made. There's no life in it. You took the emes out of it. You packaged it. Every packaging does it. You package something, you killed it. On this level, you leave it open. And what will be, could be it's going to be a disaster. Baking. You're baking. You're following the pre-maisa. That's the first level of knowing. And it's going to work. The cookie will taste good. But then there's certain people that they will not measure. I don't know how they do that, right? You know that? And it's much better if it comes out good. Infinitely better. And you can't put that into a recipe book. You put it in the book, you killed it. And I would even say that on Be'emes, Mistama, all of the people that donated their recipes for the recipe books, Mistama, on a deep level, it never tasted good for them anymore. Not selfishly because the other person, no. Because that's it. It was concretized. You've killed it. Now you know. Now I know how to do it. If you know how to do it, you took God out, did this. And people have that chosh. I don't know how to do it. And they put it together. And they don't know. And they're terrified. And they say, I'm having guests over. Have to be very humble. But some people that I know at least have that humility. They say, I'm going for it. Because it's like either have the emes or at least know the emes that it's horrible. All of the great people, look at Yosef HaTzadik. When these were not words of humility. When someone came with him with a dream. You know what he always said? First thing he says, I am not a dream interpreter. Only God interprets dreams. How funny. And then he wanted to hear the dream, and then he interpreted the dream. And it wasn't sheker, nice. Certain people do that. They fake humility. No. It's that when a dream is already something godly. So there's no formula. I don't know. And he experienced his I don't know. And this is relevant to us. Before you know, really stop knowing and open yourself just to wake up and this water will flow into you. This is that's why it's so important for us to Bishvat. We mamash celebrate it. The tree doesn't take anything. The tree is just open, or sleeping means you're closed. And that's us in life. We are born sleeping. We begin life, all of us sleeping, all of us. And then slowly, we awaken. And then when we're very old, I heard we sleep the whole time again. It's a cycle. To be awakened in the, right? But it's imagine the gift, the older people sleep the whole time. So everyone around them gets a life. It helps. It's a good thing for others. But that's just a bad joke. I'm saying there's an awakening. And the awakening of the tree is not like a human being. When I'm awake, I'm a monster. I'm taking, I'm eating. I'm, the tree awakens and it does nothing.
The word is dormancy, by the way.
Huh? The word is dormancy, not hibernation. Because it's not exactly the same word. It's dormant. Dormant is I know Yiddish. Dormir in Portuguese. In Latin languages, dormant means to sleep. I don't know what how you say.
French
is it. In Portuguese, French, all the same root. Awakening to what? Awakening to what is? Just awakening to what is. I think it's a much healthier place to live. People with anxiety get rid of their anxiety with this way. People with depression, ironically, they slowly, they oscillate a lot easier out of a depression when they don't force their way out. They don't do that. They stay there. They don't see themselves in life to be anything other than being opened to the flow of godly wisdom and godly emotions that come to be. And of course, we can never know for certain if we got it right. A tzaddik is that way, but these are concepts that we should practice, and it's going to be tremendously beneficial. So we should all know when we should have chizuk and when we should not have chizuk. When we should allow ourselves to completely dissolve.